You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did Jordan you just promise tonight? That we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Welcome back, Packer Nation, to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, your host, John Jameson, right here on Twitter, at John Jameson. Plugging it early, getting it in. Boys, Dusty Easley, Brian Pompera, joining me. What's up, y'all?
Nothing, man. Excited to be here.
Guess
what? Talking some Packers.
Guess what, Packers? They got a nice little
win. They won a game, guys.
And I would say they won it in a nice fashion. I'm not going to say great fashion. It was a nice fashion.
It was pretty close to great. It was really close.
Yeah.
They still weren't clicking on all cylinders, but they looked better than they had for most of the year.
Absolutely.
You got a pick six to kind of pad it a little bit and kind of take it out of reach, which doesn't quite feel like Packers Falcons unless there's a pick six on Matt Ryan. True. You know.
How can you incorporate pick six into Breland's name? Best one wins.
I would replace one of the E's in his last name with a six.
One of the
Brashawn Sixland.
I think you misunderstood.
Yeah, 100% did. Yes.
What about just pick six Breland? I don't know. This has been an epic failure. I think we should move on.
I believe we should.
No. I hope you guys are laughing, and that's what we hope to do here at Pack to the Future. We love to keep it light, and you know, I will say this, guys. I think that Philbin did a pretty decent job of calling plays for the first time in his NFL career. And I don't have anything really bad to say about... I know that people are talking about the challenges, whatnot. I mean, are you guys considering him at this point? Or what? Where do you guys stand on Joe Philbin?
I'm not ready to say he should be a legitimate head coaching candidate. He should get an interview, I think, at this point. But yeah, overall, he did a pretty good job on Sunday. I went into halftime thinking the play calling really wasn't much better, just a little bit different, and like even just being different helped. But you know, you look at that third down and two where he called a pass play and Rodgers took four steps back and. Sure enough, he got sacked again. We all saw it coming, and it happened. So, like, I went into halftime with that taste in my mouth, but also the fact that he had abandoned the run in the first half, but he evened it out. And so what are the numbers here? Are 21 runs called, 32 passes called. Not quite where I'd want it to be, but pretty good considering we barely ran the ball at all in the first half. Aaron Jones was involved in the passing game, and the thing that stood out the most to me is such a common sense thing that Mike McCarthy just could not figure out, and I've been complaining about it on the show and off the show for over a year now. It's his whole concept of this is Aaron Jones's drive, this is Jamal Williams' drive, and you're not going to see any running back switching. We saw drives that had both running backs featured. We saw plays that had both running backs in at the same time. Jamal Williams is a lead blocker. We had, you know, Jones splitting out wide and Williams we had elements of a common sense theme in the running game and with the running backs this week. And that, of anything, that's really what I wanted to see. And it worked.
I mean, one of the things that I got excited about was they subbed out almost like two guys, it seemed like, on almost every single play. They had specific plays, they had specific packages they wanted to run those plays out of, which has been, I mean, Brian, that's been one of your complaints, has been the running back by drives. One of my big complaints is I think some of the stuff they're running is fine, but I don't love who they're running it with, because it's kind of a lot of times roll with who's out there. There was two incredible things I saw happen. One of them was that they were subbing guys out. They had these packages in mind, and they were running these plays based on who was out there, which seems simple and seems very common sensey, but apparently is not. Mm-hmm. The other thing I saw, that you know, they only went no huddle, I think, towards the end of the half or something, when they were kind of like running low on time. They didn't really go no huddle, but what they were doing, you know, they're subbing out packages, they're still huddling, and then they're getting up to the line with anywhere between 15 to 20 seconds left. Yep. They weren't getting up to the line walking up with 10 seconds and hiking the ball. Like, sometimes they were still snapping the ball inside 5 seconds, but even when they were subbing and they were huddling, they were still getting out there, which, I mean, to me, like, that, when you think of, like, what Philbin brought as a coach that we hadn't seen on McCarthy, that was one of the big stuff. Is they're getting the guys out there in the best position to succeed, and they're getting to the line quicker. So Rodgers can see what's going on a little quicker, and they're also not, you know, waiting until 1 second left on the clock to snap it. So with that being said, going back to the original question, John, should he be considered? I mean, I think he should be. I think there's better options out there. I still think I'm kind of with Brian, where this week they look good. They looked better. They're still not the Packers that they maybe they should be. And I think some of that's, you know, you got some young guys out there. But what I said from the beginning is if Philbin wants a shot at this job, they got to come out and just scorched earth the rest of the season. I think this next week is going to be a really good test of that. If they come out flat, if they come out kind of looking like they did this past week against the Falcons, they're going to lose to the Bears. And they might lose to the Bears fairly bad if they come out kind of doing some of that stuff. But if they kind of go scorched earth and they light the next three games on fire, I think he's got to be in the conversation. I still don't think he's maybe the best candidate for the job, but I think he's got to be in consideration if they do that. Because it does seem like he is doing things different enough to kind of help the Packers succeed in places McCarthy was not.
Yeah,
anymore.
But I didn't see much that made me think that he could do it for long term. Like, I saw things that, here, we can make quick changes to make this offense decent again. I didn't see, and I know it's only 1 week, but I didn't see a whole lot of change. You know, it's still that system, and it's still the McCarthy system, and that's the one that Philbin runs, so long developing routes and not a lot of getting the ball out quickly, a lot of 3-4-5-step drops when you should just be getting rid of it, a lot of abandoning the run, just a lot of the same issues kept popping up, and
that's all true, and especially the abandoning the run one, I think, is relevant here, because that is kind of a big point. That as far as the other stuff goes, like you said, it's one game. It's tough to tell. It's also one game when the head coach is fired over halfway through the season, and you can't really make wholesale changes to everything. Like you said, it was Philbin's first time calling plays. Maybe he got a little pass happy. Maybe they wanted to get a little pass happy at the beginning. You know, Williams was the starter, I think, because they did want to come out pass happy a little bit, and they wanted that extra protection back there, especially, you know, with McCray at the guard. But I think it's hard to say in one game, because he's not going to make a whole bunch of changes in McCarthy's system. That being said, he has been doing this for a while. He has been in McCarthy's system for a while. It is kind of safe to assume that their thoughts do align. And so maybe it would be closer to McCarthy than we would like, than I would like to believe it is. I just think on a lot of those points, it's kind of hard to judge them based on one game coming in halfway through a season, because you're not going to change the entire offense that way.
I agree with what both of you guys said, and I thought that was I can add nothing to what you guys said about Joe Philbin, but what I can add is that I am going up against a Bears fan mano a mano, and I know that I can't do it on my own. I need some protein in my body. How do I get some freaking protein around here?
John, did you know there's protein in beef jerky?
What?
And I happen to know.
When did that happen?
It's apparently a new craze. I think it's from the kale that they put in there or something like that. I don't know. And I happen to know where you can get some awesome beef jerky. Sioux City Jerky. some of the best jerky I have ever had personally. It is amazing, seriously. They use only the finest ingredients from the beef and pork and bacon, so check it out, all the way to the spices and natural flavorings. Everything is made here in the USA, and a portion of each sale goes to the Children's Miracle Network, so you're supporting a good local business and a good cause. With Christmas right around the corner, it is not too late to order now and get stuff in time for Christmas presents, stocking stuffers, however you want to use it, or you can just eat a bunch of it right in your family's faces and be like, order your own. Damn. All good options for you to order for the holidays. So visit SiouxCityJerky.com, link in the description below. Visit and pick some up today.
Buckle up, buckaroos. It's bear hunting time. Ladies and gentlemen, if you did not know, Brian Avilas, longtime friend of the show, probably the number one Back to the Future follower, I'd say. You've listened to virtually every episode, I think.
Oh, of course. I don't miss one.
And this, and you are, and you are a Bears fan. I mean,
yes.
What is it about Back to the Future, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously I'm friends with you guys, so that's part of it.
Yes.
I don't know what it is that I did in my life to be given all of these friends that are Packer fans. But here I am. You know,
hey,
honestly too, you guys do a good job, and I like staying informed with what's going on in the division. And yeah, I really enjoy listening to you guys.
Brother, you know, I gotta say, I don't have many Bears fans as friends. But dare I say that I have one Bears fan brother. Okay? And, you know, and I would say we just pretty much got done with a few conversations that we've had recently about, essentially, you were kind of dogging Packer fans a little bit, and I obviously stepped up and defended, you know, my people. And
yeah.
You know, I'm wondering where this hostility is birthed. Besides the fact, it could be the fact that the Packers and Bears have the best rivalry in football. I don't know, but I mean, is there anything sparking this behavior out of you?
Well, I would say most of it is just how spoiled you guys are. You know, Packer fans have been blessed with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and just some great success. And us as Bears fans, we've, ever since the 85 Bears, it's just been nothing but chaos going on at the quarterback position. Not just the quarterback position, but even just the team as a whole. And so when I hear things going on in Green Bay, when your team's struggling a little bit, it makes me a little upset, because I'm like, well, shoot. Like, I've had to deal with losing my whole life. I haven't got to see a Super Bowl. And what, you've seen two in your lifetime, right?
I have seen two, yes.
So yeah, I'm like, I'm sitting back here like dang, like, I wish I was in your guys' position. I'll take one crappy year with Aaron Rodgers for
all the other
great years.
Just to throw in what I you know, essentially said back to you real quick, you know, until we kind of hop to what the Bears look like in your guesstimations right now and how far you see them going. All that jazz is coming up. But what I said back to you was, we are in a time where we have two first ballot Hall of Famers playing quarterback back to back in our fine city of Green Bay. And I think two Super Bowls just isn't enough for what these guys will mean to football when it's all said and done. And that's where I'm coming from, is that obviously
there's some sense of spoil, but it's also some sense of realism where it's like, man, this is not going well. And it hasn't for a while. So, but you know what? Sunday is a big, 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 big football game. Let's not call it anything other than what it is. And what I've seen from the Bears is very, I mean, the defense is scary. It's absolutely scary. And that's the first question I got for you, Ryan, is does this defense have enough chutzpah to carry this team despite the quarterback play?
Yes, but the reason why I say that is because I think the Bears offense has done a really good job. Matt Nagy, he does a great job of just scheming around Trubisky's faults. He does a good job of spreading the ball around, using all the weapons. Let's take the Rams game, for example. Trubisky threw three interceptions, and we were struggling to score the ball. But at the end of the day, we had way more time of possession. So Nagy is able to see that Trubisky doesn't have it. So what do we need to do to win this game? And what they did was they ran the ball really well. They kept the ball in the Bears' hands, and then when the Rams got the ball, they did what they could to get it back. And so I think we have the coaching staff this time around that we can still win big games with just a lackluster performance offensively, because I think Nagy is able to do things offensively as a coach that none of the Lovie Smith teams were able to do.
And we can get into, you know, the signing of Khalil Mack and all this stuff, but let's something pretty crazy happened this offseason. It's almost become too familiar where the Packers have gone after either a Bears player, Kyle Fuller, or a free agent, Allen Robinson. And I know you guys got Trevathan instead of us a couple years ago. So it's like it's become a little bit of an annoying theme lately, but I want to talk about Kyle Fuller and Allen Robinson. And obviously these are two guys of Packers, you know, obviously made bids at and tried to get them into Green Bay, and it didn't happen there on the Bears. How important have those guys been to the success of the Chicago Bears this season?
So, I mean, let's start with the offensive side of the ball. Like I said, we spread the ball around. So Allen Robinson, he doesn't have the big numbers that a Davante Adams gets or Julio Jones gets. But what Allen Robinson is he's a security blanket for Trubisky or Daniel when he's in there quarterback. So you'll see in a lot of games when you have third and long, you have some tough plays that need to be made, and Allen Robinson consistently is the one that makes the plays. So he may end a game with only two catches, 40 yards, but those two catches are probably the biggest catches in the game. And it's nice to have a guy that you can throw it to and you can expect him to make the catch no matter where the ball is at. And so it's been huge having him. Kyle Fuller, I mean, I can't say enough about this guy. Kyle Fuller, you know, he started as a rookie with us, played a really good rookie season. But after that, he had a couple of seasons of injuries and not playing really well. And so when you guys gave him that big contract, it was tough. It's, you know, as Chicago fans, we didn't know if matching it is the best decision. But he has rewarded Chicago and rewarded this team for matching it, because he had seven interceptions this year. He has been nothing but locked down game in and game out. And he's by far having his best season in his pro career, and he's still a young guy, so he's got a lot of time left. And I think he's benefited a lot from having the Khalil Mack, and this whole secondary has. When you can rely on your front seven to get to the quarterback, you're able to be a little more aggressive on the defensive end. But Kyle Fuller's biggest mishaps the last couple of years has been dropping interceptions, has not been able to finish the plays. But this year, other than that Green Bay game, every ball that's come his way that he's had a chance to intercept, he's done it. And so, yeah, it's it's been absolutely huge for us to be able to bring him back. But I would say on your guys' end, it looks like you guys have secured that secondary. I mean, you got some young guys out there, Jair Alexander.
Yeah,
you guys. I think you guys have benefited from not getting him as well. So I think it works out for both of us.
Now, we had made an agreement, and I am a man of my word, and I will stick to it, Brian. No score prediction, okay?
But what I appreciate that.
But what I will say to you is you're going to have to make some kind of prediction here. It's not going to be a score one. But this is the last thing I got for you, dude. Aaron Rodgers seems to be a completely different animal when it comes to playing the Chicago Bears.
Yes.
How much does that concern you on Sunday? Do you think your defense can stop the vicious animal that is known to kill Bears?
Well, this is why I don't want to make a prediction, because this game is just huge for us. Not only do we have a chance to clinch the division this week, but we have a chance to clinch the division by knocking you guys out. And, yeah, part of me, like, I know that's in the back of Aaron Rodgers' head. I know, like, this game is a lot bigger. Like, we're going to make the playoffs either way. But the Bears want nothing to do with the Packers in the first round of the playoffs. So they're going to – they want to knock them out. And I know I want them to knock the Packers out. And the reason why I'm really scared about this game as a Bears fan is we just lost Bryce Callahan, who by far has been one of our biggest surprises on the defensive end. Kyle Fuller has the interceptions, but Bryce Callahan is probably the surest tackler out there for the slot corner position. He's a lockdown. He locks guys down in the slot, and he also is able to tackle guys when they do get the ball. And so I see a lot of short passes like the Packers did in the last meeting we had in the second half.
Against Atlanta.
Yeah. And the question is, will the Bears corners be able to tackle Devontae Adams and these other receivers when they get the ball? And not having a guy like Bryce Callahan, we've seen it many times in the past. Aaron Rodgers likes to pick on guys that he knows are weaker. And the question is, can McManus step up and cover whoever is in the slot? And honestly, I'm not sure if he can. I can see Aaron Rodgers picking up the part.
I mean, not only has it been Rodgers, but Randall Cobb has also done a number on the Bears. And that's more than likely where Cobb's going to be slated. Man, what a game we have in store come Sunday.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what,
like, now that the Bears are, like, this is the first time in a while I can say that we're on top of the division and we're looking like the division's best. There's nothing more important than beating the Packers, because if we lose this game and we still win the division, I mean, it won't feel as good, because to be the best, you need to beat the best. And the Packers have been the best in this division for the last, 10-plus years. They've been the top, and they've been the team you want to beat. They've been the most successful team. So I think it's a huge statement and a huge confidence boost going into the playoffs if we can take you guys out. And no matter what the records are, this is always a tough game, Bears-Packers, and I'm excited.
It's going to be a great football game, and obviously we're all looking forward to it, both fan bases. Here's to a good game. Worst of luck to the Bears. Naturally. And Brian, as always, phenomenal talking with you, my man. And we will be jumping on we will be jumping on Fortnite very soon together. the moment we hang up. So ladies and gentlemen,
if only we got as many Fortnite wins as the Bears get.
Dude, if only we got as many wins as the Packers have had this season, I would be ecstatic. So, y'all, Brian Aviles, check him out on Twitter at Give It To Me.
It's Brian BBLL 148.
Brian BBL 148. Follow him on Twitter, Packer Nation. Let's now flip the ball. The good ball. The Packer ball. We're talking about how we got to win.
And we are back talking about how the Green Bay Packers are going to trounce and destroy the danged Chicago Bears. Brian, come on now. Talk to me here. What are we doing?
I'll talk to you. Here's what they need to do. I got a couple things here. Number one, they have to rattle this young quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. He's shown that if you can get to him, get into his face, he'll make mistakes. He showed that just last week, turning the ball over, like 13 times or something like that, it seemed. we've seen from Mike Pettine some exotic blitz packages, and he seems to roll them out against young quarterbacks because he knows he can confuse them. We saw it against Josh Allen, for example, and when we shut out Buffalo, one of the best defensive performances we've had all year. This obviously being a must win, if there was ever a time to dial up those kind of pressures again, this is it. You have to go for it. Like, going into this week, the Bears is our Super Bowl. We have to win this game, so dial it up. And you know that someone like Breshad Breeland, pick six Breeland, is going to be chomping at the bit, coming off that performance he had on Sunday to get another pick six. And if we get pressure on the biscuit, we might just have a chance or two. And with how good the Bears defense is, we're going to need a big play or two on defense if we really want any chance to win this one. Number two, you have to take advantage of those turnovers that I just talked about. Whether it's a fumble recovery, interception, it could even be getting good field position off of a punt or a kickoff or something like that. You have to be able to take advantage of those extra advantages that you get. The Bears have turned the ball over 21 times this year. That's, I think, seventh most in the league. But the Bears' defense is really stingy after those turnovers. Like, somehow it just, like, activates their jetpacks. It's crazy. I couldn't find the stat, but I thought I saw one earlier this week that 21 turnovers, they've only surrendered 28 points off of those turnovers. It's somewhere in that ballpark. It's absolutely insane. So not only do we have to force those turnovers, but we have to find a way to take advantage. And number three, we have to protect the ball. The Bears give the ball away a lot, but they take the ball away a lot. They have forced 34 turnovers this year, which is six more than anyone else, and they have six defensive touchdowns on the season. Jeez. That's... I don't even have words for how ridiculous that is. Six defensive touchdowns, five of them off of interceptions. Aaron is going to have to continue his no-interception streak into next week if the Packers want to have a chance at winning this one. So really,
anytime Rodgers takes down a TB12 record, man, it kind of makes you feel
good. Oh man, we need to talk about that for a second, because he's, the more he goes into the next game, we're just starting to talk about how he's shattering it. And man, it's unreal how long it's been since he's thrown,
especially over Brady.
Oh yeah, that makes it extra sweet. And I like that it's not how many games, how many quarters, or how long in the season. Like, it's actual attempts, so you can't say anything about him being injured and missing snaps and blah blah blah. Like, this is straight up him taking care of the ball and being a really good and smart quarterback. So I love it. So yeah, my keys for this game are all essentially based off of turnovers and non-turnovers. I really want this win. I want it really bad. Like I said, this is essentially the Packers Super Bowl at this point. I'm optimistic with the way the team rallied last week and played a good game, but it was against a bad opponent. This is a defense that's going to be really hard to move the ball against. I know we roughed them up in the fourth quarter in week one, but that wasn't the same defense that we're facing now. I just... I'm not sure I see it, guys. We're still banged up on both sides of the ball. If Bulaga can't go again and Khalil Mack is lining up across from Jason Spriggs, I like Spriggs more than most, but that's just a recipe for disaster. I don't know how much we can move the ball against that. It is going to be a great game. I will say that. I don't see any way that we lose by like 30 or allow what happened against, you know, Minnesota or something to happen where they just take over at some point. I do think the Bears will win it, though. I'm going to say 2017.
The good and bad of what you said, Brian. Good. A nice Rashad Sixlin reference earlier.
Had to.
Nice. Loved it. The bad, obviously. We don't even need to talk about it. Dusty, some numbers.
Yeah, I mean,
the Packers
Brian
winning at the end.
Yeah, Brian covered a bunch. You know, I mean, you can look. I mean, this Bears offense is a middle of the road at best offense. They've got the 22nd ranked pass offense, which is preposterous because at times they look like they're just world beaters, and then at other times they look like they have no idea what they're doing, which is kind of true because Mr. Biscuits. You know what? I'm putting zero respect on the name Biscuits. Just calling him Biscuits looks lost out there sometimes. My favorite thing from the Rams game was how he would, like, very confidently wind up and throw the ball as hard as possible and just miss a guy by 10 yards. A lot of times behind him, either behind him or over his head. It was just my favorite thing in the world. So,
pretty boy assassin, you know, baby.
Pretty boy assassin. I need to find that list again of his nicknames. But, yeah, I mean, this is a 22nd ranked pass offense. Again, this is according to Football Outsiders DVOA. They got the 15th ranked run offense, which, I mean, it's kind of crazy to me, right? You got Nagy in there. You also have the dynamic duo of Howard and Cohen, and they're just simply a middle of the pack run offense. They're just basically an average rush offense. The Packers defense has fallen off a bit. You know, that pass defense is currently at 17th, which matches up well against that pass offense, obviously. But their run defense is 29th. You know, they weren't good before, and then Daniels went down. I will say I liked what they showed this past week. Some of those guys with Lancaster was in. I like what Lancaster showed this past week. And Lowry looks like he's turning into a monster. Lowry's looked really good. He's really good. So, yeah, I mean, they're missing Daniels, but they do have some guys there. So if they can slow that down, and if you flip it to the other side, I mean, listen, the Packers offense isn't bad. Per Football Outsiders DVOA, they have the 9th ranked pass offense and they have the 4th ranked fourth ranked rush offense. The Bears just are good. They're first in pass defense and first in run defense. I mean, we saw that this past week. I was watching that Rams game, just sitting there, you know, at a hotel in Green Bay, just sitting there watching that game going, oh, the Packers got to play them next. That was a scary game to watch. And with what the Rams have done the past 2 years, to see the Bears dominate them as thoroughly as they did is kind of crazy. But then even then, they dominated them, and the Rams were still in that game for the vast majority of the game because Biscuits just decided he was just hucking balls over people's heads with wild abandon. So, I mean, Brian talked about all the turnovers, but they need to win a turnover battle. Here's a couple of things I'm going to throw at you guys. So the Bears, for as good as they are, you know, first in pass and run defense, they are currently 12th at allowing red zone touchdowns. So they allow touchdowns on 56.3% of opponent drives inside the red zone, which is 12th in the league. The Packers' red zone scoring offense, they're 13th in the league, scoring on 63% of their trips. But two things to throw at you. Over the past three games, the Packers are scoring touchdowns on 83.3% of their trips to the red zone. Beyond that, on the season, they score at a higher rate in the red zone away than they do at home. They score at home, they score touchdowns on 58% of their trips to the red zone away. They score 71% of the time they get in the red zone, the Packers score a touchdown. So the Bears are, you know, above average. But the Packers have been very, very good these past 3 weeks, and they're better on the road than at home. They just need to get to the red zone to get there. I have a couple more. I have two more, three more stats to give you. Three more stats.
That's cool.
Just numbers. 21. The numbers, the points that the Packers scored in the fourth quarter of week 1. 21. Infinity It's my second number. That's the number of hearts that Rodgers ripped out in week one. Bears hearts. Bear hearts that he ripped out and feasted on. Feasted on their stupid bear hearts. Last number is 30. For as good as the Bears looked against the Rams, they gave up 30 points in a loss to the Giants a week prior to that. This Bears team looked like world beaters, and granted, this is a home game, and they were at home last week, and they lost in New York. But this team looked like world beaters, just like a dominant defensive performance last week. They can be beat, and in fact were beat, by a middle-of-the-road, at best, Giants team 2 weeks prior, with 30 points hung on them. So it can be done. I'll be honest with you, Brian, I was kind of in line with you going into this. And then the more I kind of was looking at this stuff, and especially the Giants thing, I've swayed. I have swayed who I'm picking. I'm going to go Packers 24-17 because I believe it in my heart. It's tough because I really did think the Bears were going to win this, but I'm talking myself into it. I do think the difference is going to be, I mean, really, I think what it hinges on is I think Biscuits is going to give them 2 to 3 turnover opportunities, and it's a matter of what they do with those. They need to take advantage of those. If they don't, they're going to lose this game. I have a feeling that they will. So Packers, 24-17. All get right. It.
I will tell you who I think is going to be the game changer and the player that needs to step up. And that is none other than the man who said he wants to finish his career in Green Bay, Clay Matthews. You're there, man. You've been turning it on the last 4 weeks. And I thought your performance on Sunday doesn't get you on the list of players that need to step up, but it really does, because you're right there, man. You're literally on the cusp, I feel, of just getting it going here. And if we beat the Bears, it's because you're going to be in Pretty Boy Assassin's face, turning into Ugly Boy Assassin, idiot guy. And we need you to be there for us. Get it done. Show Sackrell what it takes to be a pro like you were for many, many years in Green Bay, an all-pro. Get that back, and let's pick up the dub in Chicago, 23-20 Green Bay. Classic Packers-Bears score. Let's get it done. Final thoughts.
I guess Brian. You're starting with me. Okay. Final thoughts. Going home to Wisconsin for Christmas, flying out next Saturday, and I can't wait to be in
to see
John and hang out in what would probably be sub negative 100 degree temperatures. Looking forward to it.
I told them to be nice to you.
I appreciate that. I know I said beer's been making me feel a little sick and I haven't been drinking it lately, but that is not going to stop me from having a couple spotted cows, just so we're clear. That will be happening. I don't know how many. I won't binge like I usually do, but I'll have a few at least. Next. Guys.
It's like you were trying to get that off your chest, Brian. Like it was like, that was a bad thing. Like,
for sure.
It's a great beer.
I love it. But I really shouldn't be drinking beer. That's the problem. So guys, the baseball winter meetings are happening right now, and they're talking about banning the infield shift.
Boo.
And I just want to say that that is a stupid plan. My goodness. Like, seriously, a couple big market teams got beat by a couple small market teams who found a way to level the playing field, and they just want to cry foul on it. And it's just the worst plan I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, just, hey, MLB, you know how you've been looking for progress for the past 20 years? Well, here it is. And then they respond with, well, we're just going to get rid of that then. It's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard that they would even consider it. And it drives me nuts. On a more positive note, though, guys, my last final thought. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the titles of these episodes, but episode 100 is coming up. And it's going to drop the day after Christmas. So it's like a nice little late Christmas present for you. Guys, I don't know about you. I'm kind of in awe that we've made it this far. That, like, the FCC hasn't shut us down, or, like, people haven't come
with torches
and pitchforks to our doorsteps saying, stop it. Like, there are some people that actually listen to this show and enough for us to make it to 100 episodes, and that's really awesome. It's been a ton of fun making these, and I'm really looking forward to the next 100, and I'm sure John and Dusty feel the same way.
Aww. I could do about 5 more with you, I think.
Well, that brings us to my final thought. I'm doing 5 more episodes and I quit.
No, got him.
No, but we're almost to 100. It's gonna drop. It's gonna be Lions Week, and I'm really pumped that we've made it that far. So that's all I have. You can find me at @PTTF_Brian. Us at @PTTF_podcast.
Good appropriate guess.
Yep.
for the hundo. Very, very excited. Very cool final thoughts. Brian, you're a cool guy. And I know a guy that can be very cool sometimes too, and that's Dusty.
Oh. Thought it was gonna be John. Cool. No. I've got 3. Cheap ticket time. As you all know, we broke the single digit barrier last week. And that means from here on out, I assume, you know, these last few weeks here, we're getting single-digit tickets. So if you're in an area with single-digit tickets, you can go to a game. You can watch a potentially really good or really bad game. And since it's single digits, probably a really bad game. But it's still football, and you can go all by yourself or with a friend because it only doubles it up. So with that in mind, this week we are, as I said, once again in the single digits. And we're returning to a very familiar place, boys, because we went there last week. It is Detroit at Buffalo. It's Matt Stafford. It's Josh Allen. This game's going to be terrible. I didn't even look at the weather for this, but this game is going to be really, really terrible. But you know what's not going to be terrible? And that's, I can't believe I'm saying this, that's kind of watching Josh Allen. Because as inaccurate as he is, and he certainly is, he's not, I'm looking at his numbers right now, he's had a single game where he's completed more than 60% of his passes. And that was way back against Minnesota during that huge, weird blowout win in Minnesota. Aside from that, I mean, here's completion percentages. 40, 54, 68, 48, 52, 58, 42, 54, 50. He's exactly as advertised. He's not very good at throwing, but he can run. The man can run. In fact, over the past 3 weeks in a row, he did 99 yards against Jacksonville, 135 against Buffalo, and 101 against the Jets. He's basically rookie year Cam Newton that's less accurate, which is kind of exciting. I mean, if you've seen the highlights, which maybe you have, because you haven't watched a full Buffalo game because you don't hate yourself. I mean, he's Josh Allen is kind of fun to watch. He's not great, but he's a good runner, and he's fun to watch. Kind of a big dude. Got some good quickness. So if you want to go see him, you can for $4. And I just want to give a shout-out to Houston at New York, which is our other single-digit game, at $7. We got a couple of the teams. So we got 2 games this week in the single digits. It's coming.
Dusty,
down
do you have the list open? What's the cheapest ticket for Browns Broncos right now?
Cheapest tickets for Brown Broncos? Yes, it's $69.
That's way too much. I'd love to go to that game, but that's too much.
It's not bad,
but I was hoping for like the $25 range.
Love me some Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, just wait it out, brother. You know, just check day before and see how it looks. I gotta imagine that's coming down. I imagine that's coming down.
I would just tweet Baker Mayfield a picture of you in the Christian Yelich jersey, and be like, hey, why don't you just give me front row, maybe sideline?
Yo, Bake, you need this homie in the front row. Come on,
Dusty.
Yeah, they might just get you down on the field. Don't ever talk
to them. I knew you would.
I was going to let it slide, and I could not. Second final thought, as I kind of talked about, man, I went to Green Bay this past weekend. I got to catch a game in Lambeau. I got to catch a blowout win in Lambeau, and it was tremendous, man. You know, I picked up, you talked about Spotted Cow. I had some of that, but ultimately, for my take home, I picked up a 12-pack of Moonman, because Moonman is the superior New Glorious beer. And I have zero issue saying that. It's probably my favorite pale ale. You know, I don't even get a chance to get it very much. I don't go up there very much. But, man, Moonman is tremendous. But we had a tremendous trip. You know, great weather the entire time. We got to see a really good game. We got to hang out with some cool people, you know, around us. We had no obnoxious fans in our area. A great view of the game. Just, we, you know, couldn't have asked for a better time. I think I said, may have been off air, that if we had gone and it was a loss, it wouldn't have killed me, because it's still a good time. We got to go and see the Packers beat up on the Falcons and put up a fun performance with some memorable moments. We got a brawl. We got a pick six. Got that dime from Rodgers to Cobb in the corner, which, if we're talking about breaking Brady's record, I love that it was not on some check down. He broke Brady's record chucking that ball to Cobb in the corner of the end zone with a cornerback draped on. Like, that's just, if you're going to break the record, man, that's how you break it. You don't break it with a 1 yard check down. So, got some memorable plays. You know, it was just a great time. Hit up the pro shop, got me some really comfortable sweatpants, because I'm an old person who really loves sweatpants. So yeah, it was awesome, man. You know, I'm sure I'm preaching the choir here. It's something else. It's always something else going up there. It's just amazing. Just being there, just seeing the field, just being able to watch a game there, just eating somewhere and looking out and seeing the field is just, it's a feeling. I can't quite explain it. It's a tremendous feeling that I get every time I'm in that area. So I've been up there for four games now, three wins, one loss. The only loss was the Hundley game. And it's just, I've been up there a couple times, not during a game. I've been up there for work, and I've just gone to the stadium just to be around the stadium. It's just amazing. I wish I lived closer. It's just an amazing experience. So yeah, it's a great weekend, man. Tremendous weekend, and we got to catch an amazing game. So that was awesome. Lastly, spooky movie time. You know, I was going to go Christmas movie, and I probably should, and then I didn't, and it's too late to change that now. So I had the day off work today, and the house was empty, so I was like, I'm going to watch the movies. I'm just going to turn the heat down. I'm going to turn the heat off, and it's going to be freezing in here, and I'm going to watch a movie. I watched Mandy. Have you guys heard of Mandy? Have you seen this?
Mandy Moore, my celebrity crush when I was young.
Yeah, it was 27 Meters Down. That was the movie I was thinking of. I just watched 27 Meters Down. Or 47 Meters Down. So Mandy is a movie that came out this year. I gotta look up who the director is. It's Panos Cosmatos, I believe. I'm gonna read the synopsis to you, and then I'm gonna tell you who's in it if you don't know this already. The enchanted lives of a couple in a secluded forest are brutally shattered by a nightmarish hippie cult and their demon biker henchmen, propelling a man into spiraling, surreal rampage of vengeance. Yes. Does that sound kind of awesome? Does that sound cool, guys? Do you know who the man is? Do you know who that man is? That man is Nicolas Cage. That man is Nicolas Cage.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah, it's incredible. It's on Shudder right now. I'd heard things about it, and I kind of was like, I don't know if this is going to be very good. It seems overhyped. It's bonkers good.
Wait, is that a recent movie?
It came out this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen the preview for it, and I need to actually see it because I love Nick Cage.
It is ridiculously metal, man. Like the weapons he goes after these demon bikers with is a crossbow and some weird huge axe thing that he forges himself with nothing but like friggin' sunglasses and a t-shirt on.
Love it.
There's a scene where he just chugs vodka and screams and a t-shirt in his tidy whities for legitimately 3 minutes. That sounds bad.
That sounds amazing.
But it's awesome. He's covered in blood for half of it. It's such a bizarre movie. Like it's really kind of got the surreal quality to it where you're not sure if some of it's an acid trip or whether it's real.
Wow.
It's got some really creepy imagery. The soundtrack's incredible. Cage is appropriately unhinged, which is to say he's Nick Cage. I had to look up the hippie cult leader. I had to look up who it was. It's Thomas Wayne from Batman Begins.
Nice.
Which is just tremendous. I know
what I'm doing this weekend.
I went in with certain expectations. And it still didn't prepare me for what I saw. And this, I'm gonna close on this. I'm gonna tell you, there was this. I had to look up to see if this was real because I don't remember that. There's a scene when Nick Cage is alone in his house watching TV. Like comes in, he just had like this big huge thing happen to him, and he's just like, rrr, 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 and the TV's on, and it's this 80s looking commercial for mac and cheese. I posted a GIF of it today.
Oh, that's what you were posting.
And it's this, they called it the Cheddar Goblin. And it's just this, it looks like a ghoulie from the movie Ghoulies just vomiting mac and cheese out on the heads of children while they laugh. So I had to look this up because I was like, there's no way, it looked like it was from the 80s. So there's no way this is a real thing. It was not. It was created for $1,000 by the guy who did Too Many Cooks. I guess him and the director are friends, and he was like, "Hey, I've got this, idea for a cheddar goblin. Can you make a commercial for my movie?" And so he put it on in the back. He was like, "I can do it." He basically paid $1,000 for cost for the puppeteer for said cheddar goblin, and then they made it. And then they thought it was going to be on in the background, and they made it like a central thing of this one scene. It's tremendous. It's such a bizarre movie. You got to be in the right frame of mind for it. But man, it was awesome. So if a blood-soaked Nicolas Cage hunting down demon bikers sounds like your deal, if that's your vibe, get on it, buddy. Get on it.
I will let you know what I think.
Also, one final last thing. In Green Bay, we had, you know, TV, and as I was going to sleep, we had the TV on. And Wedding Crashers was on, and I forgot how much I love that movie. Just, it's so funny. It's still so funny. So, that's it for my final thoughts. I'm closing up with Wedding Crashers and blood-soaked Nicolas Cage killing demons. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely and also at All22Talk.
All right, y'all. It's Bucks time. And a lot has happened since we've spoken, since I spoke to you last. And the Bucks made a trade. Got rid of Delian Henson, some decently sized contracts on the roster, which I'm a big fan of. And we got George Hill in return, and I've always liked George Hill, and I've never had a problem with this game. I guess I've just been trying to figure out where he's gonna fit into everything, but either way, that's a solid piece that you can bring off the bench, in hopes that, you know, you're going to make a deep run in the playoffs. And what we did in the past few games here was amazing. We got kind of back to our winning ways. It was our first time winning back-to-back games in the last 2 weeks, this past week. And I know I heard some people complaining about losing to Golden State, and I'm like, you split the season series with a team that good, and I think you're doing something right. And we have a big game coming up, big road series, three-game road trip here. And we start with the Pacers. Winners of four in a row. So, Bucks, just continue the move here. Continue ascending. Continue growing in confidence. Because I see that happening. I think Bud is coaching you guys extremely well. Just keep it up. Love what I'm seeing still. And just sheer excitement for many things. Including my Green Bay Packers. And how they're going to go into Chicago. And just, once again, completely rip the hearts out of Bears fans, because that's just what they do. Aaron Rodgers is a legit bear killer. He's not allowed in the safaris anymore for how much bears he's killed. I don't even know if you can find bears in the safari.
You can't, but the, you know,
but the bottom you line, you but the bottom cannot. Line is this: Packers are getting it done. Let's keep it rolling, Wisconsin sports. Get it done. Pack to the future. We're here. Episode Hundo coming up. Check it out. Peace. We're back to the future.